Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine, a CME podcast series where each week we translate today's late-breaking clinical research and news into tomorrow's practice. I'm Dr. Frank Domino, professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the University of Massachusetts Chan Medical School and editor-in-chief of the 5-Minute Clinical Consult. This podcast is brought to you by PrimeMed. Grayson, a 4-year-old boy, is here for persistent cold symptoms. Your student reports to you that Grayson has symptoms and exam findings consistent with an upper respiratory tract infection and, quote, a ear infection on the left side, period. Your student suggests maybe amoxicillin with clavulanate for 10 days. You examine Grayson and find an otitis media with effusion, that's fluid without redness or bulging, on the left ear. Grayson's mother asks if he really needs an antibiotic. What do you say to your student, and what do you tell Grayson's mom? Hi, this is Frank Domino, and joining me this morning is Dr. Susan Feeney, Associate Professor and Associate Dean of Advanced Practice Programs at the Tan Ching Fen Graduate School of Nursing at the UMass Chan Medical School. Hi, Susan.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, this topic is so important. Thank you so much for discussing it.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what is otitis media with effusion, and how is it different from acute otitis media?
Well, otitis media with effusion is accumulation of fluid in the middle ear that is not infected. It's usually happens during a viral illness. It can persist for weeks, but it doesn't have an infectious process. In other words, not an infection going on in the fluid. It's just there. And an acute otitis media is actually fluid in that middle ear that appears to be infected. It can be bacterial. It could also be a viral nature, but it would look very different. And there are very clear diagnostic criteria for the AOM, the acute otitis media. And it is, red, bulging, if you use your pneumatic otoscopy, where you push a little, pressure in there, you don't have any movement. It's a very, very clear picture versus, a cloudy TM that clearly has fluid in it. You may see some air bubbles. So one is a source of infection. One is a accumulation of fluid post either allergies or some kind of viral infection. And it's very common in kids.
It is. It's very, very common. And I think we have lots of kids like this, but we don't always have the best guidance. What's the best evidence regarding treatment of this otitis media with effusion that's not acutely infected?
Well, and of course, this is, if you read any of the guidelines, this is the big bone of contention, is the experts and the evidence-based guidelines really want us as clinicians to be able to differentiate this, because you're going to see a lot more effusion than you're going to see otitis media, acute otitis media. So the recommendations are, when you see this non-infectious fluid, right, that most children within 3 months, it will resolve. Now, again, kids get illnesses all the time on top of one another, but in most cases, it's going to resolve. And that they really recommend just watchful waiting, and that intranasal oral steroids are not recommended. They do not recommend systemic antibiotics. They do not recommend antihistamines and decongestants for treating, as there's no evidence that any of that works. You monitor their hearing and speech for 3 to 6 months. And if it persists beyond 3 months and you're starting to see maybe some speech delay, then you would refer them to ENT for evaluation of further treatment. That may be more watchful waiting, it may be tubes, or maybe other things that happen. But this is a small subset of children who have this fluid in there. But that in most children, that will resolve by 3 months.
I think that's really good advice. I think the pressure to do something is often great, whether the parent is pressuring you or you yourself feel like you want to try to do something. But that doing something can possibly lead to harm, and rarely, at least according to this data, helps. I know there was a Cochrane review on this. Can you cover that a bit?
Sure. Well, Cochrane came out with a review of about 19 studies, and it looked at a little over 2,500 participants, ages 6 to 12 months, 6 months to 12 years. both unilateral and bilateral effusions. And then they also looked at children who had been on various types of antibiotics, penicillin, cephalosporins, macrolides, Bactrim, all for 10 to 14 days. And then in the studies, they were either compared to placebo or no treatment. And they looked specifically at the primary outcomes of why is otitis media with effusion bothersome. And it's impaired hearing, impaired quality of life, and then the potential of a bad outcome with the antibiotics, such as anaphylaxis. And then secondary outcomes, they looked at all the other types of things that happened from poor hearing, you know, delayed language skills, delayed cognitive development, and the like. And what they found was, after looking at all this, it's really unclear whether antibiotics have any benefit at all to the outcome. In other words, does it help resolve the otitis media with effusion at 3 months? And many of these studies, one of the flaws of all these studies, they didn't look beyond 3 months. There was a question that perhaps maybe in a couple of studies there was a slight improvement. In other words, that the fluid seemed to resolve faster and they didn't have symptoms at 3 months, but it was such a small amount and it really isn't enough to change practice. They did not see any specific harm. In other words, they didn't see an increase of anaphylaxis, but they saw that perhaps there may be more rashes. What they didn't really talk about was resistance, that, you know, was there any sort of increased resistance with this antibiotic use? So really what Cochrane found was the conclusion was there's just not enough here to change behavior to recommend antibiotics to change the outcome for these kids when it comes to hearing and cognitive development. And even though they didn't see a rise in actual harm, in other words, they didn't see an increase in anaphylaxis, you know, there is we know the harm from antibiotics. They do increase the resistance the pathogen resistance, and it really didn't move the needle on these kids who had persistent effusion. So I think the take home here is, doesn't do the patient, the family, or the antibiotic world and resistance patterns any good to be treating kids with otitis media with effusion with antibiotics?
I agree. And I think I love the fact that the guidelines as well as the Cochrane found that doing stuff was not beneficial. So we've got Grayson and his mom here. What are we going to tell them?
Well, first I'm going to take my student and I'll say, tell me what you saw in the ear. I'm going to do this outside the room so I don't want to, you know, because he's learning, and explain the difference between effusion and a bacterial infection in the ear. And then that it really is, and I'll give him as an assignment to look at the guidelines, and that to give him the same spiel that we watch this. And so what I will tell mom is, look, he does have effusion in his ears, which is very common during a upper respiratory tract infection in a child, and it can persist up to 3 months. Hopefully within 6 weeks, it'll dissipate. And you may find that he's not listening as well as he might be have in the past. It's hard to tell in a four-year-old whether they're listening well, but I would bring him back maybe in 6 weeks and look and have another talk with mom. But certainly he needs to be monitored. And if there's any indication at 3 months that there's still persistent fluid and there is concern about language development, social development, cognitive impairment, we would definitely want to refer him to ENT to have that evaluated. But tell her that in most cases, this will resolve fine without any treatment. And I would encourage lots of fluid, you know, getting him in the shower, teaching him how to blow his nose, all the things that can help them get that stuff out of their head. And not that we have any evidence that will reduce the effusion, but certainly won't make it worse. And that's what I would tell them.
I think it's a good idea to give them something to do. One of our ENTs recommends, now maybe not for Grayson, but giving them balloons to blow up. And while you don't want to, I don't know how the safety of that and balloon risks are, but having that increased intrapharyngeal pressure, it gives them something, you know, like a fun task to do that's unlikely to cause harm.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea, and because it will help open that eustachian tube, which is probably collapsed. Yeah.
Susan, this is wonderful. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Practice pointer. When considering treatment of a child with otitis media with effusion, remember the evidence does not support antibiotic treatment. Recognize persistent otitis media with effusion and assess hearing and speech and treat or refer as evidence recommends.
Join us next time when we talk about the latest news in the world of dementia, including hepatic encephalopathy and the great benefit of a healthy lifestyle. Thank you for listening to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine, brought to you by PrimeMed. To claim CME credit and receive additional information about the article referenced in today's episode, follow the link in the description. To stay up to date on the most recent clinical research and news, please subscribe to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine and be sure to check out PrimeMed.com for additional CME content.